Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
The Knoxville Hospital and Clinic staff is working together to usher in a new age in modern medical record technology. What are the benefits of the new technology, and what does it mean for the doctors, the staff, and most importantly, their patients? Let's go in depth with Maggie Hamilton Byers, Chief Financial Officer, Tom Richards, Director of Medical Technology, and Dr. Brent Haynes with the Knoxville Hospital and Clinics. So Maggie, I understand that there's some new technology coming to Knoxville Hospital and Clinics.
Yes, there is. Starting the 13th at midnight, we're changing from a system called CPSI to Cerner.
Cerner, what's that mean?
Cerner?
Is that a company name?
Yes, it is. It's a company out of Kansas City. It's probably known as the number one or number two system nationally for electronic medical record.
Okay, and so electronic medical record, we're just talking about the digital database and the server and maybe the internet connection or the computer or iPad or whatever that the doctor or the nurse or whoever is using. Is that what that means?
Pretty much. I think that's a good
segue.
It's a little bit of all of it. Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, the software itself, the servers will reside in Kansas City, so it's an off-site hosted process. And so the records will be there, but we'll have access to them 24/7, and we won't know the difference.
Why have it be hosted in Kansas City? They have the capacity or what?
Well, there's a lot of reasons. One, it's really a secure facility that they have. They have redundancy built into it. They have two military-grade data centers that are football-size, buildings that the data is housed in. So they make redundancy from one system to the other. They also have the technical staff to support that. So it's ideal for a small platform like this. We don't have to have a really large IT department and a bunch of people with special training to maintain those kind of systems. As the health records continue to grow forward and more hospitals are moving to electronics, there's going to be a bigger need for that type of process.
Is that sort of like when I go into Google and open up a document, it's in the cloud somewhere?
Exactly.
Wherever the cloud
The cloud is one of those fantasy things. People don't understand that. The cloud could be in the room next behind you where my server is if you're sitting at home. Your cloud is in Knoxville. It's irrelevant to you when you're sitting at home and you're using the system. The same thing for us. We're sitting here and we're using the system in Kansas City. We don't know. So you open up Yahoo or Google Mail, Gmail. People aren't downloading that email to their computers. They're actually looking at somebody's server someplace, somewhere across the country. And you don't even know that. I mean, it's transparent to you.
And from an overall hospital standpoint, with respect to budgeting and things like that, I presume that this is a cost-effective kind of strategy to move into to continue the move into the new digital world we're all in.
Yes. We're working within our budget. Tom's been very good in his planning and setup and whatnot to keep within a certain dollar amount, yes.
All right, and it's something, and it's pretty amazing. Once you get this started, it has to continue to grow and build upon what you have now and then go into the future, right?
Yes, you will continually invest in IT and IT infrastructure.
So you're probably already thinking, well, I was going to say 10 years down the road, but we can't even think that far. Maybe a year down the road about thinking about future developments in records management and trying to keep up with all of that.
Yeah, you have to. And that's one of the things that historically in hospitals, your IT department's been two guys in the basement to show up once or twice a year to change your computer out. Hospital systems are becoming more IT-centric, and so you need more of a robust IT process. And so you have to think about where are we going to be a year from now, 2 years from now, 3 years from now, and you have to set that groundwork now, or you're constantly re-changing everything. You'll put in a system, and then go a year and take it out, put something else in. You don't want to do that. So you have to have a strategic plan that's going to be long-term.
More in depth after this. continued my conversation with Maggie Hamilton Byers, Tom Richards, and Dr. Brent Haynes. I presume that this system is something that's been tested in other facilities, works well, state-of-the-art records management software, hardware, everything. This is something that is going to serve the hospital well for some time.
Our hope is we'll stay with this system for at least the next 10 years.
10 years. Mm-hmm. So you are thinking 10 years out with this. And then they're probably making advances that you don't know about yet.
Right.
Right.
Now, Dr. Haynes, what does all of this mean for you and for, let's just start with you. What does this mean for the doctor?
For the doctor, it means you got to learn a new computer system. So everything's has good and bad parts to it. And I've went through computer systems getting started up two or three times in my career. And typically you hate them for the first 6 months because you know what you want. But something that I used to do really quickly, either with a pen and paper or with a few keystrokes, the keystrokes are different. And oh my gosh, I have to be retrained and learn how to enter things. But after a few months of using a new system, then you look back and think, oh my gosh, how did I ever live without this? And so it's, in the long run, horridly useful. When 2 weeks before it starts, it's a smidgen of dread, knowing it'll be useful down the road. But that's, I would say, most of the physicians take to start with. In the big picture of things, and in the long run, it's going to be incredible. We've got a kind of an older computer system that has some of our lab information in it. We've got x-ray in a different system. Our clinic is in a third system. Some of it is in paper charts. So if you want information, you've got to collect it from three or four different places, and there's a fair amount of a hassle factor to get all that. Hooray, now with this new Cerner system, labs will be in it, x-ray will be in it, the clinic will be into it. It seems weird in a little town like Knoxville, but if you get discharged from the hospital, sometimes it's tricky to have all the medicines completely, totally correct when you come back for a clinic visit. Because the computers, even though it's all in the same facility, are two different computer systems. That's about to go away in the next few weeks. So it makes it super easy if you come to the emergency room, meds are all listed. Oh, the doctor changed my medicines yesterday in the clinic. I'm not sure what it was. Hooray, it's already in the computer, it's there, so you'll know at 2 a.m. if the people come to the emergency room. So it's handy putting all the information together, but still the workflow is just a little different than before, and so everybody's dreads change in workflow is what it amounts to.
Well, we all do.
Yeah, which is true, very, very true. But after a few months of it, it's always good again. So.
And you think that it'll be an advantage to you?
Oh, very, very much so. Yeah, I absolutely do. If you go in computerized records, that's great. The medical fields, people argue about that all the time. When I first started medicine, hooray, we were dictating the dictaphones. Probably 5 or 10 years before me, when you see the old notes, 3x5 note cards, you know, strep throat, penicillin, that was all the note. And now for a strep throat, hooray, you generate 2 pages of computerized stuff in order to meet everybody's guidelines for documentation. So the requirements have certainly changed over the years. But looking back, you can certainly find information. Historically, you can find information a lot easier. It's a lot easier to dig up old labs. We used to go through, you know, these 3-inch thick charts, flip page, 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 page. You can do super quick searches to find what you're looking for. So it's, computers have been a big boon to medicine as far as finding old data. A little bit clunkier than pencil and paper in some instances, but for the most part, it's been good. I've enjoyed it.
More in depth after this. Continued my conversation with Maggie Hamilton Byers, Tom Richards, and Dr. Brent Haynes. Now, how about for the patient? What does it mean for the patient?
For the patient, twofold. For the visit, I think that it's nice to know you can get access to information a lot easier, so you don't have to worry, oh, did they misplace a paper? Did they misplace this? It's filed a lot easier. It's easier to find things. Also for the patient, in the next few months, hooray, we're going to have a patient portal. So, you know, it makes it a little bit easier, which is part of the computer, I guess, that lets people get on their computer at home. They can log onto their system. They can find their labs. They can email back and forth to the doctor. You can schedule appointments. So it is a patient-friendly portion as well. If you transfer patients to another physician, it's nice to have the computer. Hooray, click of the button, I can send a copy of all your records and labs to the doctor in Des Moines or Rochester or Iowa City, wherever, as opposed to maybe they got this form, maybe they didn't get that form, did I get this copied off or not? So it's great for transfer of data,
It's great for patients learning about their information. It's handy to have, again, all your information in one place. You can make a better medical decision that way.
So I can take my personal computer, mm-hmm. I can log in, I can go to the coffee shop and show my buddies my x-rays.
You can show your buddies your cholesterol. X-ray, I don't know if you can actually pull up films. That'd be cool if you could, actually. That would be neat, but they don't have that yet. But you know that
takes the whole level of older people talking about their war wounds and scars.
Look
and
at
stuff.
The scan. Yeah, that's exactly right.
A whole other level.
Well, I mean, I'm sort of joking, but that's...
It will get that way. And then what's better yet, and this isn't here yet, but everybody hears about the health insurance exchange and the whole ACA thing, which is going up and kind of flopping, kind of working here and there. But there's also a health information exchange that they're working on that every state's supposed to have in place. And I'm not sure the date, but it's coming, where all the computer information from every clinic will be downloaded into the central clinic. And so if you're in Marshalltown in the emergency room and then you come see me, I can pull the record and see if you... It'll be super nice if you're seeing your rheumatologist here or your cardiologist here, and you can still have access to all the records. You go on vacation in Florida, that's not that far away, and you're seen for your broken arm, I should be able to pull records. But that's still...
Not quite there yet?
That's not there yet.
How soon till it's there?
Well, I'm thinking I'll probably have it in the next 10, 15 years to have a total system like that. Now, I do a lot of my medical care through the VA, and so they have that kind of system. Already, but it's all one platform. But I think that's part of the driving idea behind the healthcare exchanges, so that all these systems can work together. When I moved here from Alaska and I needed some records that were in Alaska, they just called it up on a computer, and there they were. Here in Iowa, you know, down the street at the VA clinic. We have a patient portal in the VA system. I've been using that for years. You know, I can log in, I can look at my labs, I can request an appointment with the doctor. I have a secure messaging system in there so I can communicate with the doctor. I just told a story this morning. I recently, the doctor I had a visit, he said, well, if you think after so long, you know, I need to order you this prescription, you know, you can get it. And so I didn't have to go into and have an appointment with the doctor. I just sent a little message. He sent a prescription, and I went and got it filled. That saves me time of going to see the doctor. It saves the doctor time. He doesn't really need to see me and spend 15 minutes or even 30 minutes dealing with me just to write a prescription. I'm not waiting in the doctor's office. So we're bringing that kind of technology to Knoxville, and we hope in the spring we'll have the patient portal so the people from their home can actually log in. They would come to our website, the Knoxville Hospital website, and there would be a link on there that they would push, and they would go to a patient portal. They would sign up. It's very secure. It's totally secure. The records aren't out there for anybody else. They can see it themselves. And after that, they'll just have a login and a password. Anytime they want to look at their stuff, they can do so and send a message to their doctor.
Well, when's the official rollout of this, Maggie?
We go live at midnight on October 13th or 14th, however you want to look at it. Is officially the start.
Okay. But we're still, and that's for the doctors.
For the doctors and the nurses on the hospital side.
Yeah.
All right. So that's the first step to eventually bringing it to the rest of us.
And like Tom mentioned, the portal will be sometime next spring.
Yeah. The clinic itself goes live in December. And so the hospital itself will come up on the new platform on the 13th. So it's a week from Sunday.
The 13th. Do patients have to do anything?
No, nothing different at all on the patient end is exactly right.
Well, that's good. We don't want to learn all the new technology.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
All right, but are you ready to go?
Yeah, I think we'll be fine with it. It's fairly straightforward, so it looks good. I've spent hours on it, learning with it, and every computer system that you play with looks a little different, but they all do the same function. It's just how to get them to do those functions, and it's actually pretty user friendly. So it does seem like a pretty straightforward system.
So like moving from one word processor to another, or spreadsheet to another,
something similar to that. Just how do you run it? You know, you want to do the same thing, but how do you run it? And some are easy, some are complicated. Atlantic Lake Superior Software, the product was horrible. And so I've been through some decent ones and some horrible ones, but this one looks simple. It should work well, and it's got good reviews, and Mercy's using it in Des Moines, and we've been to several hospitals that have used it in northern Missouri, and they've all heard rave reviews and seen it in action. Looks good.
So you've talked to other doctors that use it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, several, actually.
What did they tell you?
They said same thing. Oh, they hate to start up with them. Every doctor says that. They, oh, I hate to get started, but once you learn how to use the system, then you'd never go back. You know? So it is. It's good information. It's just slow to get started. When you've got your set ways, I always do this. I always do this. I order a chest x-ray this way. Now I have to find two different screens and go down. Oh, I had to do something different. How dare me? That made me think. So that's the bad part about changing your workflow. But overall, yeah, great reviews. It should be a good system. We're looking forward to having it.
But you didn't go into medicine to use keyboards and computers.
Oh, no. So here, you want a good topic. Here's a good topic. Average clinic physician numbers. So 6 years ago, if you were a family practice physician in the state of Iowa, you would see on average 22 to 23 patients a day. Last year, if you're a family practice physician in Iowa, you see 15 patients a day. What would you say the difference is? And the answer is it's documentation. So part of it's electronic medical records. As people switch to those, they slow you. You see a little bit less. Part of it is just the general documentation. So if you need a cane, I used to just write a prescription, go get a cane. Oh, no, that's Medicare fraud. No, now you've got to have a face-to-face encounter. I have to document that you can't get around by other means, that your shoulders are strong enough to hold the cane, that you can get out of a chair by yourself, and then you can go get a cane. So every little thing that used to be super simple is very, very strict and burdensome. And so now, so the next generation, so how do you get around that? You hire more people. So I've started about 3 months ago, hooray, I have a scribe that sits in the room, and so hooray, she sits in the corner and types notes for me, so I'm not killing 2 hours at night making notes. So the specialists do it a lot. It's not as common in primary care yet, but I think it's going to be more that way down the road. So does it slow you, the computer does? Yes. Does it document better? Absolutely it does. Do you get better information? Yeah. It's just slow putting it in.
And you'll live with it.
Yeah, I actually enjoy it. Yeah, it's not bad.
Well, I promise when I need a cane, I'll just go buy one.
Yeah, that's exactly. It is. It's a little crazy. Durable medical equipment's gotten very tricky over the last few years to prescribe. So the future of medicine, the good part about computers, and especially in medicine, there's encounter-based medicine, there's population-based medicine. So, hooray, I've got a sore throat, I go in to see the doctor, I turn out I have strep, and I treat you with antibiotics. The computer doesn't really help that part of medicine as much. What it's phenomenal for is population-based studies. And so they're just starting in that. To be honest with you, to me it's still in the baby stages, but everybody with diabetes, hooray, you should have this little blood test to see how your sugars are averaging 3 or 4 times a year. You should have your feet checked to make sure that you can still feel in your feet. You should have dilated eye exams every year. Everybody over 50 should have colonoscopies done every 10 years. Well, how do you keep track of all that? And the answer is you've got no chance without a registry, without a list of everybody who's had these studies done. And then they have what are called health coaches that are continuously checking that list, who hasn't had their cholesterol checked in the last 6 months or a year, whose blood pressures have been too high. So I can take the computer, all right, give me a list of everybody whose last blood pressure was, you know, over 140 and 90, and then I can call those, double-check pressures. From a population-based standpoint, it's phenomenal. And I think that it's going to get more and more detailed. So it's going to be, you know, who hasn't had their mammogram. It'll be beyond that. It'll be who hasn't had a mammogram that's got a first-degree family member that's got a mammogram that, you know, that started breastfeeding at this age and had their period at this age. They're going to get much more elegant, our population-based care is. It allows wonderful things for population-based care. It's going to be incredible. For the community, I think it's going to be a big boon.
So those things that are positive for the community, you'll be good for me individually.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So again, great record keeping, great ability to pull up old records, population based care, phenomenal, and there's got a lot of great things going for it. We're looking forward to it.
Thanks to Maggie Hamilton Byers, Tom Richards, and Dr. Brent Haynes for contributing to the program. For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.